Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 9th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by none other than Liana, because it's Saturday.
Of course, it's Saturday. Thankfully, I actually have the days of the week now settled. Since I've been doing the Tuesdays, it's been very confusing.
Yeah, you know, people are going to be very confused. Is it a Saturday or is it a Tuesday? I don't even know anymore. How am I supposed to know?
If only Paul were here to set us straight.
Yes. So we are here to update you on everything that's been happening on the live feeds from yesterday. And there's a lot to talk about here. So you're in for another big one. We start off the day with Josh talking about how he wants to talk to Alex about this whole plan to nominate her, to take her out. He wants to be straightforward with her. He wants to be honest. And Paul is telling him, I don't know. I don't think you should do that. I think maybe you should wait until after the nomination ceremony.
Which, I mean, that's Paul's MO. He's been doing this the entire time, you know, even, and we've talked about this with his goodbye messages to Jason, where he's still trying to pull one over on the house guests, where Josh is coming at it, I think, from the right perspective of wanting to say, look, Alex, you know, he can't lie to her at this point. It's really obvious. And even Alex, as stupid as she is picking up on the fact that Alex is the target. So it behooves Josh to tell her and be upfront and just lay his whole plan out. Because really, you know, there's no backdooring at this point. There's no reason, you know, to hide and try to go behind her back.
Yeah. And I mean, again, Josh is very concerned about the jury management aspect of things. So he really and he's very just concerned in general about where he stands in this game. After this conversation, he has a conversation with the cameras and he's basically saying everything that I think a lot of people want to hear him say. Have been wanting to hear him say for a very long time. He's saying, you know what? I think I need to take a shot at Paul. I would hate to do it. He's my friend, but I need to separate personal from game. The only way I win this game is if I take a shot at Paul. Here's my dilemma though. Do I do it now or do I wait until final three? Because I can take him out at final three and then that'd be good. But if I can also try to take him out, I'm HOH. I could put him up on the block. What should I do here, Liana?
Yeah, well, we're starting to see the culmination of all of Josh's doubts about Paul. And we're actually seeing him articulate this. And oh my gosh, I was so excited. Like I was beyond excited when I started hearing him talk about this. Because it's like, okay, what we've been discussing for so long might actually come true. And it seems that while Josh is considering, you know, he could take a shot at Paul this week, or he could wait till the final three. I think he seems to be leaning towards taking a shot at the final three, because if he takes Alex off, which is bizarre, like that's the person that he would want to consider taking off, not Kevin. It's almost like he forgot that Kevin is even in this house. It's so bizarre that he doesn't think that this is a person that you could use to help go after Paul, because he's recognized that Paul is such a big threat to him.
Yeah. He did consider briefly, maybe I should take Kevin out of the game. Maybe I should leave Alex in, maybe all sorts of stuff. But he sort of elaborates later on in the day after he gets some more information. So we'll come back to this. This is a very important news for the day for sure, but we're going to come back to it later.
Well, actually, another point is that he says he's recognizing what a good game Paul is playing. And he has talked about how, you know, Paul's played the best game in the past, like two or three seasons, along with Derek and Vanessa. Like he's putting him up there and he's recognizing how much control Paul has had and knows that, you know, Paul's going to beat me if I go to the final two with him, which is, I just can't emphasize how refreshing it is to actually hear Josh say all these things.
Well, I mean, again, this is very reminiscent of Steve Moses, who was basically telling us like, man, Vanessa is Derek. I need to take her out.
Yep.
And then look what it happened. So Paul wants Kevin to win the veto, and he tells Kevin this. And then afterwards, he's talking to the cameras, and Paul is just very pleased with himself. Man, everything went right for me. I threw the double eviction veto so I wouldn't get blood on my hands. I convinced everyone to throw it to Josh this week because I was uncomfortable with Kevin winning. I didn't know what Kevin might do. Dude. Okay, I tweeted this out. In a house full of idiots, Paul has managed to single out the one person that wants to take a shot at him and trust him the most. It's ridiculous, but Paul is very pleased with the idea that he got everyone to throw it to Josh this week. And so he's basically saying, like, I've locked up Final Four at this point. Josh is going to keep me safe. We're going to get Alex out. It's going to be great. Maybe I shouldn't even win the veto because I'll be exposed if I do win the veto. And that's no good. I don't want to be exposed and have to not use the veto on Alex. And so Paul really feels like he's in a great spot. He doesn't think he needs the veto. He has no idea that Josh is considering taking a shot at him right now. Man.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's the thing is that we've given Paul so much credit for, you know, him orchestrating everything and kind of putting everybody in the right places. But something that Paul has been bad at is identifying who are, like, how he relates to other people and how other people perceive him and how, you know, who are the people that he can really trust and that he is, you know, willing to move forward with, you know, who are the correct people. And so, Raven, getting rid of Raven was such a huge mistake. And I think that this is another example of that. And the fact that, I mean, I think it was in Mike Bloom's exit interview with Raven, Raven said that she would have taken Paul even over Matt to the final two. I mean, this type, oh my gosh, you guys doesn't get any better than that. I'm telling you. So it kind of doesn't surprise me that he also has this really bad read on Josh and why he wants to move forward with him. I think it's because he thinks that, you know, Josh has stirred up so much nonsense in the house and that the jury, there's no way the jury's going to vote for him. And Josh really is like this ideal goat.
Yeah. And Tassis in the chat says, Paul constantly says Josh's strength is that everyone underestimates him. And then Paul goes and underestimates him. So, yeah, I mean, this is very, very bad for Paul that, you know, not only is he, you know, thinking like I've got this game locked up. I took Raven out. That was a great thing. I kept Kevin in. Kevin, who absolutely would be willing to take a shot at Paul. But Paul, and Paul kind of recognizes that. But then also Josh, who actively wants to take a shot at Paul. And he's like, yeah, I want him to win this HOH. And I want to leave in two votes, Kevin and Alex, two people. Kevin, who'd be willing to take a shot at Paul, and Alex, who might also be willing to take a shot at Paul if she's told all of the information that Paul did that went against her. And then leaving the guy that wants to take a shot at you. This is very sloppy and really could leave him exposed. Josh's plan here, if he wants to take a shot at Paul, it actually might work. And Paul has left himself very vulnerable to that. And then even if he isn't vulnerable, even if Paul does survive this week, if Josh doesn't take the shot, there's a reason why Josh is back and forth about which one he wants to do this week or final three, because it's basically a 50-50 shot whether or not Josh wins that final three HOH. And if he does, he's going to cut Paul there and Paul's going to lose there. So, man, Paul, who has been doing so well all season, it's like he's stumbling here at the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes the end of the game is overlooked. And, you know, maybe a couple weeks ago, we were saying, oh, Paul's going to win. Well, you have to be extremely delicate when it comes to the end game. And getting yourself to final two, that's no easy matter. And I think that Paul is overlooking that. And I think, you know, the fans are somewhat overlooking that too. Like, I'm actually way back. I'm really back in on this season after kind of the doldrums of the previous couple weeks, because it's going to be so interesting to see how this plays out, because Paul is messing up big time. And I know that he still deserves credit for putting himself in such a good position, but he could really screw this up for himself moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, that double eviction was amazing, and the feeds have been great ever since. And I think the show in general, these last couple of weeks are going to be awesome. If you've written the season off, I don't think you should have. I feel like it was exciting in the beginning. It definitely got to a point where it was just like, what is Paul going to tell you to do? But now there's a lot of excitement, especially if you like Josh or you like Paul, or maybe you want like Kevin to come out of nowhere and win, because that's definitely still a possibility. So there's still a lot that could happen here and a lot of excitement. So I'm enjoying this. Paul also wants Josh to rile Kevin up. He said this yesterday or the day before as well. And Josh was like, no, I'm not going to do that. But today, Josh has recognized one of the situations that he's put himself in is that next week, if Kevin wins the HOH, he thinks, man, I'm probably going to go home. Christmas might evict me over Paul. Paul might evict me over Christmas. That's not a place I want to be. So now when Paul is telling him, you really got to rattle Kevin before the HOH competition, gotta rattle her.
He's very Pauly Califiori-esque. Yes, set it to rattle her.
He's basically saying, yeah, maybe I do need to maybe make fun of his age or his weight. Like, what are we doing here? So this might be another thing that happened. If you got your hopes up in the last 30 seconds of this podcast, just wait until they start to rattle Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, I was really kind of hoping that was over. Like, we knocked Alex down a peg, so she maybe won't be coming after him, you know, as intensely. But I mean, Josh, like, I don't like the strategy, but the logic is there. I mean, Kevin did say to Paul that he would nominate Christmas and Josh, so where Josh would be the target. So he, you know, Josh has a correct read on that. It's just unfortunate that I'm going to make fun of him. And the thing about like his weight and age, like really, that's just so below the bar. I'm not looking forward to it. I really hope that Josh has a better way of rattling Kevin. It's less mean. I don't know if that's a thing that could happen, but that would be ideal, because they want to try and get Kevin in a headspace where he's not going to be able to focus in the veto competition or in the HOH next week, and he won't be able to win. And so, you know, Josh will be safe.
Yeah, that's basically it. So Paul also tells them, Christmas, that idea you had about you going on the block, that's actually a pretty good one. And here's now that I've thought about it for a while and tried to come up with reasons as to why it might be good, here's why. You don't get blood on your hands. You don't have to have a cast a vote here. Man, it's really a good thing for you if you go up on the block instead of me. Really trying to push this idea that Christmas should go up, and she's perfectly willing to take this one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, you watch him sell it as like, oh, look how good this would be for you. Like, I'll take this one on. I'll get the blood on my hands. I'll cast the vote to evict. And Christmas just completely buys it. But there, yes, she has been so incredibly frustrating the past at least 24 hours, especially because she is just completely, I mean, the thing about her having feelings for Paul, possibly having feelings for Paul, again, she didn't like outright state his name. But this, based on her actions, I have to believe that is true.
Yeah, I think it's definitely somewhat true. And I mean, I've been talking for a while about how I feel like she doesn't want to even necessarily win this game. We're going to see that play out a little bit in just a little bit. So we finally have the nomination ceremony. Josh has nominated Kevin and Alex. The feeds come back to Alex crying to Josh. I know Brent was on Twitter like, yes, I am loving her tears. But he didn't have a response to when she finally admitted that she was faking the tears. She says to Josh, you stabbed me in the back. You were the last person I trusted. Why did you do this to me? And Josh is like, oh, I'm sorry. And then Josh leaves and she goes, haha, I was faking. Just like Anil. And then Josh goes upstairs and he starts actually crying to Paul and Christmas because he feels so bad.
Yeah, the amount of tears in this house, like, I don't know, is there still a drought in California? Because if not, the Big Brother house guests like have that on lock with the number of tears they've shed. Oh my gosh, of course Alex was faking. And then Paul, you know, is able to use this to the benefit. The fact that Alex admits to Paul that, yes, I was faking this, trying to get, I mean, Josh is emotional. And when you put emotion out there, Josh responds in kind. And so if Alex is crying and Alex feels upset, this is a great way to get Josh to start crying as well and to also feel bad. And I mean, I think I don't want to credit Alex for like giving her too much strategic chops, but this did work. It did make Josh kind of question what was happening and made him just feel like an awful person.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, it worked on Josh, but then she tells Paul, who then tells Josh. But Josh doesn't really care. He still feels bad. So yeah, you know, so she's crying. Paul is basically telling him, you're getting played, dude. Why are you falling for this? This is all just to like get you riled up. I think this is when he gives Josh a little slap, and that has hit the article scene. So yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so TMZ reported on this. It was, you know, Big Brother house guest bitch slaps, you know, someone, whatever. And then I watched it happen and I didn't even think anything of it at the time, considering how much Alex hit Jason. I was like, really, you're gonna report this? So it is out there. TMZ is reporting on it, but I think they're really they're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
There's somebody that works at that company that's just like got a hard on for Big Brother, and like, man, if the Big Brother fan base is ever a fan of like getting somebody fired, let's turn our attention to whoever it is that's writing articles about Big Brother. It's so obnoxious.
Well, that's because I think they get paid in just the number, not the quality. So, you know, yeah. And the more caps you have and the bigger the font, like the better. They really went all out with this one.
So Alex is, she's concerned. She's talking to Paul and she's telling Paul, man, I'm very concerned for you, Paul. I'm scared that Josh is going to backdoor you. You need to win this veto so that you can take me off the block and then we'll both be safe, because I don't want you to go home, Paul. She's still going to gun for it. She's not quite that dumb, but she's actively rooting for Paul to win. So there's definitely a chance that if it comes down to Alex and Paul in this veto in any way, she may throw it. But we're probably getting the comics veto, so that's not really going to be an option, I think.
Right. And the thing is that Alex at least finally does want Paul to actually use the veto on her, because she did say, she was like, well, I would feel comfortable staying on the block, was the first half of her sentence. I was like, no. And the second half was like, but I don't trust Christmas or something like that. I was like, oh, thank God. Like,
yeah,
please at least like have him use the veto on you and don't feel comfortable sitting up there, especially after your closest ally just got evicted from the house.
Yeah, man. So she's also telling Paul, hey, look, here's what you should do. Basically, here's what you should do. I think you'll easily sweep Josh in the final two if you take him. I think if you make it there with Josh, you'll win the game. Again, I don't even know if this is the best advice, but you shouldn't be telling Paul this when you are like, oh, but we should still try to be together in the final two, even though it would be much easier for you to beat Josh.
In what world would you tell somebody it's better for you to take someone else? That just makes no sense to me. I've seen it. I said twice happen. So it's incredibly frustrating. I don't know what I expected, but like, don't say these things. Don't say it. I mean, it could bode well for Josh, but not certainly not for Alex.
Yes. So, you mentioned it happened twice, and it happened twice like in the same period of time, because while this conversation is happening, we get a big bomb drops for Josh. He's talking to Christmas and asking her, what would you do if you won the final three HOH? Would you take me? And Christmas says, Josh, I'm not going to lie to you. I can't lie to you. I haven't made that decision yet. I don't even want to make, I'm not going to throw the competition, but I don't want to make that decision, Josh. I'm not going to lie. And Josh says, I'm taking you, Christmas. And she says, no, Josh, why would you do that? You should take Paul. You have a better chance against him. Don't take me. What? I'm happy to let you guys take this. And Josh is not happy about this.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, this, first of all, I love the dramatic reading of this scene. It was very like snaps all around. Oh my gosh, Christmas, really? Really, girl? I looked back at my power rankings that I did, that Matt Lagori has been doing all season. I, you know, fantastic job, but I had the opportunity to be first. And I talked about how I was so happy. I was like, oh, we have a strong independent female in Christmas. She's an alpha female. This is going to be awesome. And then this happens. Oh no. Oh no. That's so awful. I have to believe that she just has such strong feelings for Paul. I don't even understand why she wouldn't I don't understand. This is not self-interested at all, unless her self-interest is very different from winning Big Brother.
Yeah, man. So Josh is pretty immediately like, holy crap. He goes and he talks to the cameras again. He says, wow, I feel so alone right now. Like, I feel so betrayed. Like, Chris, the way she was talking about it, there's no way she's going to take me. She's very clearly not going to take me. This is not good. Like, what do I do? He basically says, all right, here's what I have. I know I'll beat Alex and I'll beat Kevin if I make it to the end with them. If I take them to the final three, they'll both take me. I think I need to use the veto on Alex and then tell her everything and get her to vote Paul out. I mean, I think I have to do that, but will she even do that? I don't know. Maybe she won't even do that. Maybe I need to wait until the final three. Ah, I just don't know. I don't know. Josh doesn't know.
Kevin is still in the house, Josh. I mean, they clearly haven't had a very close relationship, but use Kevin. I know he's busy eating Snickers bars and telling the camera that he's sleepy, but he is there. If you pull Kevin off, this is an opportunity for you. And it's that moment where you can, like, when Christmas and Josh are having that conversation and you can see Christmas's face, it's very evident that she's not going to take Josh, and that, you know, I don't know why she wouldn't. If she's going to lie and say she hasn't made the decision, why wouldn't she just lie and tell him, yes, I'm going to take you? But Josh is so distraught by this. And I was really hoping that this was going to be the moment where he was like, I need to take a shot at Paul this week. It needs to happen now. I cannot wait till the final three. But based on how he assumes Alex is going to behave, he doesn't think that he can do it. And he's probably going to end up waiting till final three.
Yeah, so I mean, it's very much in his mind that he wants to maybe try this. And if Alex wins the veto, I think he might. But you're right, there is another option. Obviously, Kevin very easily could be willing to take a shot at Paul. The problem that he's put himself in, and this is why I thought he maybe should have tried this tactic during the double eviction, is that if Kevin has a choice between Paul and Alex, even if he's willing to take a shot at Paul, he probably wants Alex out first. Alex hates him. Alex has been mean to him. She's just as good at competitions. If Kevin has the choice, it's like, well, why would I bother taking a shot at Paul? Alex is never going to take me. At least Paul is pretending that he's going to take me to the end. So I actually don't think he has a shot with Kevin. So he would need to use Alex. The problem is, she had a moment of doubt during the double eviction. That was when he could have broken through to her with no time to think. Now Paul has gotten back in. He's weaseled his way back into her mind. And I think even if he does tell her everything, Paul will have plenty of time to go, no, Josh is lying. He's trying to get me out. He knows he can't get me out unless you vote against me. He's trying to save Kevin. And like, really, like, Alex is going to vote for Paul over Kevin. It's a hard sell this time.
Yeah, that's exactly like you're saying with the timing of the double eviction, especially when she had just had this emotional bomb of Jason going home. You know, Alex is somebody who hasn't been shown as being super emotional, except for, I guess, mean and angry, or she hasn't been super emotional. But her face when Jason went home, she was clearly distraught. And that's a moment where you can shake her confidence in Paul and really try and get her to turn. The thing is, I can see where you're coming from with the Kevin thing, that, you know, Kevin and like Paul is still Kevin's theoretical final two, but Alex is just so enamored with Paul. And I just don't know if Josh could ever sway him. So it's almost like, you know, he's kind of between a rock and a hard place. Like, Josh knows the right move, just the pieces that he has aren't going to play the game the way he wants.
Yeah. So, I mean, that leads us to the question, like, Josh is faced with this dilemma. Should he try to take a shot now, or should he wait until the final three, where he probably will have a 50-50 shot at winning that thing and then being able to cut Paul and take Christmas over Paul? Should he wait until then, or should he take the shot now? What do you think, Liana?
I mean, I think that if Josh wants to win the game, he has to take out Paul. So if he takes out Paul, though, in this week, I think he's going to have a harder time possibly getting to the final two. But I think that there are just so many different factors to weigh and laying out, okay, you know, who can Josh beat versus how can Josh get to the final two? you know, I don't have a good answer to that question because I can see the pros and cons of both. I think if I were in Josh's shoes, and I don't completely understand all of Josh's relationships, you know, you can never quite understand even from just watching people interact on the feeds. But I think that Josh still doesn't feel like he can build a connection with Alex and build a connection with Kevin. And those are the people that he would need to go with. And so while from the strategy perspective, it might make more sense to try and take a shot at Paul now, I think from the emotional human connection side of things, he's going to have to wait until final three.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a really tough situation because I think if he does take a shot now, it'll probably fail. I think it's more likely to fail than not. That said, I think he needs to take the shot because even if he does win that final three HOH and he has a 50-50 shot at best, because Christmas could still easily beat him in one of those first two competitions. And then he has basically no shot. But even if he does win that, which is, man, it's again, like not the easiest prospect in the world. And he then takes Christmas. I honestly, at this point, I think Christmas could beat him because as much as we're seeing that he is anti-Paul and that he's the only one that's on to Paul, nobody in the jury knows that. Everybody in the jury sees Josh as Paul's tool, right? And Josh has done nothing to disprove that. He said to Jason in the goodbye message, this was Paul's master plan, but that still is saying, like, he was basically
Paul's
saying,
master plan.
I didn't want to do this, but Paul made me do it. I am Paul's tool. And so, Jason said, leaving the house, he kind of wants Christmas to win. If he takes Christmas over Paul, I think the jury might look at that and say, wow, Christmas out-talked Paul to get Josh to take her to the end. Wow, maybe she was the true mastermind behind everything. She used Paul to do all of her dirty work. She had Josh loyal to her enough that he'd take her over Paul. Like, man, Christmas should win this game. And obviously Josh could still beat Christmas, but I think that's a really tricky spot to be in because you're in a position where you either lose to Paul or you maybe lose to Christmas. And if he doesn't do this, if he tries to take the shot, even if he fails, it's like, it's a situation where, okay, he takes the shot, he fails, Kevin goes home this week, and now it's what, Alex and Paul, but Paul doesn't want Alex in the end. So Paul still needs to take Alex out. Christmas still needs to take Alex out. You're still probably going to make it to the final three. You still probably have to win. But at least then if you take Christmas, you can say, look, I tried to take a shot at Paul. I wasn't his tool. And if it does work, I think he's in the best spot to win. If Paul leaves and he gets Alex on his side, Alex still wants Kevin out because she still thinks she can't beat Kevin. So she needs to take Kevin out before the final three. And then it's Alex, Christmas, and Josh. Alex has talked to Paul specifically about how she thinks Josh is not going to win the game. He can't do anything. Josh can take the credit for, like, look, I used Alex to take out Paul. I used her to get to the end. Vote for me to win. I think Josh can beat Alex. So I think he should go for it.
Right. I mean, that's the other thing is that it's, and we haven't talked a whole lot about this, but depending on whatever permutation of people we're going to see in the final two, you know, what are the arguments and how are the votes going to fall? Because we have, I mean, it feels like forever since Cody was evicted from the house, but Cody's on the jury. Cody is a vote. And so thinking about how Mark, Elena, Cody, Matt, where are these votes going to fall? And how can someone other than Paul start to build their case? Because if Josh is going to end up going up against Paul, I think he's going to lose. And so taking out Paul is such a good thing to put on your, I guess, resume, right? And so if he can say, look, I was the one that took out Paul, then I think the jury will start to learn because they're not seeing all the things that we're seeing. They're just getting the short little packages. And, you know, Matt and Raven are not going to be the greatest people to come in and, you know, make the case for somebody other than Paul. I can see where you're coming from, that even if it does fail, at least he can say that I took the shot. I tried and I was willing to make the move against him.
Yeah. I would like to see it. I think if Alex wins the veto, I think he's going to take the shot. I think he doesn't want Kevin to just leave. I think if it comes down to, well, Alex is safe, you know what? I got to go for it. And we could see a very interesting week play out from that point on. He even talks to Alex. Alex is talking to him again after the nomination ceremony. This is the second time they've talked. She's talking about how she really feels betrayed, that she thought they were friends on a friendship level. This is not okay. She understands it's a good move, but she doesn't know if they'll be friends outside of the house. Really laying it on thick to Josh. And Josh does the thing that Josh does. He did the same thing to Jessica. Look, just there's so much that I want to tell you. Just we win the veto, okay? Just win the veto. And I want to tell you things, but I can't tell you them right now.
Yeah, just win the veto and we'll go from there. Like, there's so much I want to tell you. And for a split second, I was like, maybe he will tell her. Of course not. That wasn't the case. But if Alex does end up winning the veto, I absolutely think that Josh is going to entertain this idea. And I think that he's not going to go gently into that good night, just letting Kevin leave the house. The only thing is, with Christmas being okay going up on the block, and then the combined persuasive power of Paul and Christmas on Josh, that is my biggest concern. That if Alex does come off the block, because Christmas is willing, they're going to convince Josh that Christmas needs to be the replacement nominee.
Yeah, well, the thing is about Christmas's persuasive power is I think she's lost the majority of it at this point, because Josh now feels like Christmas is no longer on his side. He always felt like throughout the entire game, and this is what has kept him calm throughout the entire game, that it's me and Christmas, always me and Christmas. And then he just found out, oh my God, it's Christmas and Paul. It's been Christmas and Paul all along. And so I don't think she has as much sway over him as as she used to. And so if anything, her trying to convince him to not do something might push him in the other direction at this point. Unless for whatever reason, again, his emotions get in the way and he just feels like, I can't betray them. I can't do it.
Well, see, that's the thing. Josh is a person who operates based on emotion. He feels things so strongly, and that influences all of the decisions that he's made in the house. And I think that from an emotional standpoint, he's emotional because he feels like he can't go against Christmas. He feels like he can't betray Paul. I mean, he's listed that several times whenever he talks about flipping the house and trying to get Paul out. You know, I want to be loyal to these people. They've never put me up. They've never done anything bad to me. So I think he feels emotional from that perspective of not wanting to go against him, but he also feels emotional that Christmas just said, essentially implied that she's not going to take him to the final two. So he feels betrayed and emotional on that level. So it's almost like these competing battles of emotion inside of Josh. I don't know which one is going to win out. Christmas and Paul keep telling him to snap out of it, which feels like the stick to your core values thing. Snap out of it. I'm like, yeah, that's something to say to somebody emotional. So they're not appealing to his emotion side for this decision-making process, because you know, that is how Josh makes decisions. And I think that if Paul and Christmas do want to convince him, they have to appeal to the emotions, because that's what's driving Josh's decision making.
Yeah. Also, you know, thinking about like how Josh should go about this, if Alex does end up winning the veto, I think the move for Josh is put up Paul by saying, no, look, you know, I know Christmas is volunteering, but I think it makes more sense to put you up, Paul. And look, I'm the HOH. It's my call. We were faking this fight. This was your idea to fake this fight. It only makes sense for you to go up. Obviously, we control the votes, so don't worry about it. Paul will raise a fit, but he won't necessarily think he's getting screwed quite yet. Wait until the last second and then tell Alex everything and then hope that it works. I think if you give Paul too much time, if you tell Alex too far ahead of time, she will go to Paul with it. He will deny it. He will do everything in his power to smooth things over. But if you get in her ear the last second, you might have a shot at flipping her.
Yeah, I agree. I think similar to what like the double eviction, you have to get in there when there's very little time. Paul can't work his magic and smooth things over. I honestly think it's the right move, but I don't think Josh is going to do it.
Yeah. And I don't know if he's capable of it either. I think that he has the information, he has the weapons, but he doesn't know how to use them properly. So I'm not sure he'll be able to do it. But again, I think regardless, I think he should try. I think he should just go for it. At the very least, put Paul up on the block and then pretend that you tried. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Well, I would love that as a feeds watcher.
Yeah.
Come on, universe.
So here's the problem. So Paul was talking to Josh earlier about, man, we're golden. We get to the final three. Those competitions are so physical. It's basically a guarantee that it's you and me on those scales. We're going to be doing this. It's a 50-50 shot. We're going to take each other. It's a guarantee. Christmas is going to come in third. She doesn't even care. We're making it to the final two. It's all good. I think this is legitimately Paul's plan.
Yeah, I think so too. And we've seen him talk to Christmas and Josh and never go against them, but he's only really ever said that to them. So it was hard to judge whether or not he was telling the truth. I think that this is his plan. And the fact that Paul keeps talking about the fact that, Josh is, prods people and has like been annoying to people who are on the jury. That's the reason why Paul wants to take Josh. He thinks he can easily beat Josh. Josh has pissed off all of the people in the jury house, and that is his ideal final two. Especially Christmas, we still don't know what's going to happen as far as Christmas competing. She competed in a running competition, so who knows what the decision is going to ultimately be. I know she has the plastic wrap that she can wrap over her cast, but she can't be dunked submerged in water. So, and she can't fall on it. So I also don't know if she's going to be able to play veto. Anyway, whatever. So I think that based on what Paul has laid out to Josh in that conversation, yes, Paul wants to take Josh to the final two. He wants to go against him in that part three of HOH. And I think he's really hoping that Josh is going to take Paul as well.
Yes. However, he did get some information toward the end of the day where Christmas is telling Paul, hey man, Josh is really starting to freak me out a little bit. Even Alex was telling Paul, Josh said that we need to take out you and me. I think he's going after you. Paul is starting to get this information coming back to him that Josh is doubting him, that Josh is being all kinds of sketchy. And he even mentions, I believe to the cameras, maybe it was Christmas, maybe getting Josh this HOH was a bad idea. I'm starting to regret this one. So this is starting to maybe start to realize that maybe Josh is not the person he wants to take down to the end.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't know then who he would want to take down to the end, though. Right. So he still considers Alex to be a huge threat. He knows he has to take out Alex. Hopefully she goes this week. Well, then maybe Kevin is the person that he brings, might be his other option, or, I guess possibly Christmas. But again, Josh is a threat. Josh is a threat to Paul because Josh might take a shot at Paul, not because Josh will beat Paul in the final two. So I think Paul is also thinking if he can just kind of like get through and win out, which I think he does feel capable of doing, he's going to be okay because he thinks that Josh, even though he may be suspicious of Paul, is never going to have the ability to take a shot at him and get him out before the final two.
Hey, Paul, I know who you should take to the final two or final three. Raven!
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 Idiot. Oh my goodness. That's such a dumb decision.
And honestly, we talked about it yesterday. I talked about it with John, where it's just like, honestly, at this point, just take Alex. Like, just replace Raven with Alex. It doesn't matter. She's loyal to you. She's going to win competitions for you. You're going to beat her in the end. Just take Alex. Why are you so scared of Alex? He's so scared of Alex, and I don't understand it.
Right. I mean, he's definitely playing to not lose in the final two. And I understand. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine if he gets to the final two and loses? Right. I mean, that, I know he says, whatever. Never cared. He cares. He cares a lot. And he does not want to go to the final two with somebody who he thinks even has a modicum of a chance to beat him. And that's what he sees in Alex. He thinks that there is a chance that she could beat him, however small. And so he's not willing to risk that and take her further in the game.
Yes. I had a question from Shay on Twitter, who asked about Paul and what he'll say in the final two if he gets there. Because obviously he's not owning up to his game. He didn't own up to his game in the goodbye messages for Jason. Do we think that Paul is going to admit to everyone the game that he played? Or is he going to continue this line of, man, I don't know what happened, Jason. I'm so sorry. You have to imagine he'll own up to it, but then you also would imagine he would have owned up to it in the goodbye message. So what's going on here?
No, I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to continue to play this facade of, oh, I had to fight and play my own game and get here. And he's not gonna, you know, first of all, there's not a lot of time in the jury questioning anyway, but I just think he is not going to out anything about his game. He's not going to say my actual final two were Josh and Christmas. And, you know, I orchestrated everything. I'm the reason why you're on the jury. I really don't think he's going to go from that angle at all, because we would have seen inklings of this, even a little bit in the goodbye messages. But Paul is clearly just trying to go along with, you know, the lies that he's built in the house. He's maintaining them to the jury members who are leaving the house.
Well, the thing is that he keeps saying, I controlled every HOH except for two, Cody and Jessica. And on those two, I flipped the house to do the opposite of what they want. I think he is going to say that. But I think at the same time, he might also say, oh, I'm so sorry, Jason. I don't know what happened. And that would be a very deadly combination of things to say.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I don't think the jury questioning, and I think you talked about this on the live update yesterday, but there's not a whole lot of live juries. And I think the decision is really going to be made. So I think it's Paul's to lose if, you know, possibly he gets butt hurt and flips a couple votes. But I really don't think it's going to, I don't think it's really going to change anything. I don't think he's going to, you know, let out any new information. He'll probably brag about the fact that he's never been on the block, even though, you know, thanks production. And I think those are the kind of things that he's going to discuss in his final two speech.
Yes. There's also another thing that I wanted to bring up here. This was pointed out to me on Twitter this morning. I hadn't checked this out, but there, Jason did an exit interview with ET Canada. And in this exit interview, they asked him a question. This turned out to be a very interesting turn of events here. They asked him, in his goodbye message, Josh confessed to voting for you and admitted he was going along with Paul's plan. Yet in Paul's message, he said he didn't vote for you. What do you think is going on there? Who do you think is lying? Jason's response to this was, Paul's definitely lying. But why would he lie in his goodbye message? Oh my God. That means it's Tiger and Josh? Holy shit. I'm dumbfounded right now at this very moment. I didn't really hear Paul's goodbye message because I just knew he was 100% at fault. Now I'm completely speechless. It's definitely Josh that's lying, because he admitted to me that he's a super fan. He must play dumb really well. I'm going to just go ahead and say, if Paul said that in his goodbye message, then it was probably Josh. Paul did have a weird look on his face when I called him counterfeit, and he asked me if I was going to say anything when I was leaving. I guess that kind of makes sense now. I'm just going to go with Josh as the one that's lying, and he's trying to throw Paul under the bus. Now I'm a flip-flopper because I don't know what to think.
Oh my goodness. I was hoping that with Alex out and not in his here, he was going to be able to have the correct read on the house. Apparently it can be anyone that will make him question. An interviewer from ET Canada, Alex, I don't know, probably the Tree of Temptation. I'm pretty sure he could be swayed by an inanimate object. It's just really frustrating to see, because it was like, oh, Jason, you were so close. Like, don't second guess yourself. Please don't rethink this.
Yeah, I mean, apparently he didn't even hear what Paul was saying. And so this is kind of an interesting situation where the interviewer accidentally let out some information that Jason wasn't aware of. Obviously, you don't know that Jason isn't aware of this. You saw him hear the message, so you would have figured that he heard it. But the way those were edited together was kind of so that this would come across very, very not on the up and up. So Jason now has some doubts, and I really think this has opened him up in terms of jury voting. I think it's also very revealing that he's not thinking Josh is manipulating everything. He's thinking, oh, Josh wasn't Paul's tool. He was just Alex's tool. And he still thinks Alex was behind this. And I do think that once he gets to the jury house, they'll be like, no, you idiot, it's Paul. But, there's enough doubt that it's like, wow, did Paul play it that well? Did he play me that well? I think his anger has started to dissipate, and now he's not going to be as bitter. I think now Jason might be willing to vote for Paul.
Yeah. And I think once he gets to the jury house, there are going to be at least slightly more irrational, sane people that are going to get a chance to talk to him and get in his ear. And the fact that, you know, we saw Cody and Elena talk about they're playing Big Paul, I think that once Jason has the information from the other jury members, I think then the pieces are really going to start to fall into place, and he's going to realize, you know, what the real situation was and how Paul played him.
Yeah. And again, that's sort of what I was saying yesterday, where it's like, and this is what Derek did. You make them go into the jury house just full of confusion, not knowing what to think. And then when the jury fills you in, as long as they're not doing it in a way that's like, Paul is the worst person ever, if they're like, you're an idiot because you believed this and here's what's actually happening, they're not like in the heat of the moment. So they're able to go, wow, you know what? That does piss me off, but it's also kind of impressive. And I think that's the point that Jason has gotten to. Whereas before, he was like fully anti, like, Paul, I can't believe that asshole. But now there's enough confusion that the anger is dissipating. And I think he's going to be willing to say, wow, you know what? He totally pulled one over on me. I gotta hand it to him.
Yeah, because Jason, I mean, had a super emotional exit, very Cornbread-esque with the F y'all, because apparently Jason turned to Paul and Alex and like said counterfeit mother effers. And that's why the audio, we didn't hear any audio during his exit because he was cursing at them. Like he was so mad. But now, you know, now he's been able to cool down. And I think once he starts thinking about the situation, we could really see him vote for Paul.
Yeah. He also mentions in that interview that the only reason he ever badmouthed Kevin was because he'd get yelled at if he didn't. And that he always loved Kevin, and that he thinks he's not a bad guy. And he hopes that everything everyone was saying about him was wrong. Nobody's told him about the backlash. So I think this is genuinely how he feels about Kevin. So interesting to find that out.
Yeah. That was nice. I mean, cause they were buddies and he was like, I really hope that, you know, everything is true about Kevin and that, he has I know he's a family guy. And so that was nice to hear. Like once you remove him from the peer pressure, at least he's somewhat coming to his senses. If only he could have done that in the house.
Yeah.
But okay. Thanks.
So that's about all we've got. Paul did confront Josh about everything that he'd been hearing, especially coming from Alex. Josh, of course, denied it. And Paul was like, don't worry about it. I don't believe it. But that was really about it for the day. There's a lot of moving parts this week. A lot of stuff that could happen. We'll see what happens with the veto. Liana, did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Do we think that those lockboxes in the HOH room are going to do anything? Because I was thinking about that last night. I was like, those have had no play on the game.
I don't think so. I think they were there for decoration, to be honest.
That's too bad.
Yeah. you would have thought so, but this is not Big Brother Canada. This is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, I guess. I was just aiming for the stars. That's so sad. Yeah.
You know, you never know. Expect the unexpected.
Right. Yeah. Hey, they got me with Celebrity Big Brother. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Going to have Matt Eisman on the podcast tomorrow night. He's been liking all the tweets saying he should be on Celebrity Big Brother. I think he wants to go. I mean, I don't want to speak for him. We'll ask him. We'll ask him tomorrow night. I would love to see Matt Eisman on. If you don't know Matt Eisman, he's the host of American Ninja Warrior, and he also won the Celebrity Apprentice in a very impressive style. So it would be very interesting to see him play. I think that would be very good casting.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Matt is so good. I would love to see him on the show and I'm so excited to have him on the podcast. It's going to be fun.
Yes. So that's all we got for you. Make sure you check out the Taran Show with Aubrey Bracco. Lots of fun stuff with that podcast. As I mentioned, we'll be back tomorrow night with Matt Eisman. So lots of fun there. And then, of course, the LSC Roundtable podcast will be live Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. I will be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything that happens with the feeds today. And check out the American Ninja Warrior podcast. We're having lots of fun with it. We just recorded with James McGrath and Alyssa Beard. Alyssa just became only the second woman ever to complete stage one in Vegas. And we talked to her about that and it was a lot of fun. So that'll be coming out pretty soon. Make sure you're on the lookout. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.